Good evening. Would you open your Bible to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament? We're returning to our series through Proverbs. And tonight, this is the sixth sermon in the series. The title of the message is Wise Decisions. It's the age-old question, isn't it? What is God's will for my life? And how do I make decisions accordingly? We'll look at that tonight. We have a few scriptures that we'll be reading through Proverbs to begin with, and then we'll unpack this and consider before us tonight wise decisions. So open your Bible to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 15, and then the references that we'll be reading through together will be on the screen, and you'll be able to follow those out of chapter 15 and 16 and then 21. So Proverbs 12, verse 15, first of all. It says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Proverbs 15, verse 22. It says, "Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." In chapter 16, verses 1 to 4, "The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom." In chapter 21, we're reading from verses 1 to 5, and then concluding with verse 31. And in chapter 21, verse 1, it says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. And then lastly, verse 31, "The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight, and we ask that you would speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would guide our attention, give us ears ready to hear, hearts that is like fertile soil for the seed of your word, to be sown and to bear much fruit for your glory, for the furtherance of the kingdom, and for our blessing and benefit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever heard of a condition called analysis paralysis? Maybe some of you had. It's a term that refers to people who are in a situation where it seems that they have an abundance of decisions and choices to make, that they've become so fearful of making the right decision that they make no decision as a consequence. And it's like physically paralysis, but it's in reference to that mental condition in our minds of, oh, I don't know what to do, I don't know the right way to go, and so there is this paralysis effectively that kicks in, a failure of making the right decision in the awareness of so many options. There's a pretty popular TV series at the moment called The Good Place, where one of the characters, Chidi, struggles with this all throughout the entirety of his life, and then on into, ironically, the afterlife as well, where it just seems that he cannot make the right decision for fear of making the wrong one. We see this all throughout society in general. Maybe you know people like this, you know, and have colleagues at work where they just are caught up in the, I don't know what to do. And it creeps into the church as well, where we are paralyzed with fear over making a decision because we want to make the right decision, but we're not sure what that is. And especially in the area of what we think is God's will for our lives. And here's the view that we have, and I think it's an erroneous view that we hold to that causes us, particularly in our Christianity, to get caught up in somewhat of an analysis paralysis. We believe that God has a detailed plan for our lives, but that God has hidden that from us. And that our mission in life is to try and discover that. And so we live our life like a virtual archer out in a field, firing off numerous arrows of decisions and hoping that some of them will hit the bullseye of, this is God's will for my life. And we're caught up in Am I working in the right job? Have I made the right decision in building this house or in moving to this area? And we talk about marrying the right person, and we all have these terms that we reference. And really, it is a fault of our understanding of who God is and of His will for us. Incidentally, just on that last one, have you ever thought about logistically what that means of, have I married the right person? Because, we all talk about, there's got to be the right one out there for me. And all it takes really, logistically, is for one person to make a mistake in marrying the wrong one. And it's like the butterfly effect, and it flows on. Is it this picture of God's gone, oh no, He's married the wrong one. That's just ruined all my plans for everybody else. What am I going to do? It would flow on to all other areas as well. And we really get caught up in this complexity of making the right decision about where I work, where I live, who I marry, that if I don't make the right one, then I'm not only messing up God's plan for my life, but potentially God's plan for other people's lives too. And it's such a foolish way to think. The trouble with this view is, number one, that it's not biblical. You know, the Bible never tells us to be preoccupied with the details of tomorrow, does it? And number two, it also implies that God is a cruel God, that kind of thinking, as if it's a game of hide and seek and that He gets a thrill out of hiding His plan from us, kind of like looking at the maze of life and the decisions for us, and that He's there at the side chuckling at our misdirection. It furthermore undermines personal responsibility. It overlooks a massive volume of scripture that we read about that indicate how to make decisions, how to be wise stewards of that which God has entrusted to us. I remember having a conversation with someone many, many years ago about them not getting a job until God told them to. I said, I can be God for you right now. Have you ever read in Thessalonians about the importance of getting work? And of that, if you don't work, then you don't eat. You know, that's scripture. That's God's will for you. It also, lastly, leads to an obsession, an unhealthy obsession about the future. We fall into this error and we become obsessed with the next thing. Well, what job is next for me? What church is next for me? What's next in my life? Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 34, about tomorrow. He said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So to be clear tonight, we are not called to seek God's detailed plan for next year. We are called to seek His plan for the kingdom of God today. Now, the Bible is full of revelations of God's will for us. And I can stand here, listen to this, I can stand here tonight and I can give you God's will for your life. Are you ready? Here's one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Gratitude, that's what I have to be about. That's God's will for my life. Here's another, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. Here's God's will for you. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust. And we could put up numerous examples of scriptures where God has written in His Word, this is the will that I have for you. Will you be about it? Will you be busy in this? But when we're talking about God's will, it's often that we are so wrapped up and concerned with what theologians have actually split into when it comes to God's will, two parts: God's revealed will, as we read in the scriptures, and God's hidden will. But understand this with respect to that latter, God's hidden will. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. And here's where all of our thinking with this can come and find some resolution. It says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. In other words, what God has decided to reveal to us with respect to His will, guess what? That's for us to enjoy and to take note of and to apply and to live out. But what God's hidden will is, the secret parts, says that belongs to Him. And we're not to be busy about trying to find that out. This clears it up to me. You know, we are never told in Scripture to discover God's hidden will. We are told to do His revealed will. So here's the summation of all of this. I think that tonight God wants us to shift from obsession over His will for tomorrow by being occupied with His will for today. Does that make sense? If you forget anything else tonight, please remember this. Remember this. Do away with an obsession about His will for tomorrow and focus on being busy about His will for now, for today. And Proverbs teaches us all the way through in the scriptures that we've read out and what we'll unpack tonight, that while the future details might be hidden, we still have a present responsibility to make godly decisions today. And this is where we're going to focus our time and our energy tonight in answering, how do I do that? How do I make wise choices that are in sync with God's revealed will? How do I live my life in a way that honors Him, that will be a blessing to me and to others who meet me, and will be a reflection of glory that rightfully and only belongs to Him? And so we're going to look at the ordinary means of knowing God's will and of making wise decisions. And I emphasize ordinary because we do read of in the scriptures of extraordinary ways that God reveals, that God works. But these are the exception and not the rule. Miracles we see through the scripture, but they're called miracles for that reason. They're not called dailies. They're called miracles because they're out of the ordinary. And what we're looking at tonight is this. We are not meant to grope around in the dark for something not there. We have wisdom that can be gleaned through God's word. And so we're going to consider six steps for us tonight in making wise, godly decisions in our lives. Do you want that? I want that. So let's look at the first one. And it is so obvious that when you see it and when I read it to you, you go, ah. Number one, how do we know God's will? How do we make wise decisions? Listen to God's word. We as Christians, we believe that God's word, the Bible, rightly understood, reveals God's will for our lives. And so reading, engaging, obeying, digging into the scriptures actually aligns our will with His. Now remember, as we studied through Proverbs, we came across in chapter 9, verse 10, this, that it is the beginning of all that we've been digging into. And in fact, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Where do we find that? Well, this is where it all starts, in God's word. Proverbs 21, verse 2. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. And so we look to the Bible, we look to God's word. What does that mean then in listening to God's word when making decisions, when seeking to make right decisions for our lives? What does that look like? Well, it means this. It means that when I'm considering what path to take, what decision to make, I'm asking and I'm ascertaining in line with God's will, am I going with or against what God has said in His word? Am I going with or against what God has revealed in His word? And what we see in scriptures is that we are told to avoid sinful and stupid decisions. Again and again and again, there's a real clarity that then comes to our lives as we read God's word, that when we come to the decisions that we might be considering, when we open and see and read in God's word, no, if I make that decision, I'm going against God's revealed word. Why? Because this is sinful. This is wrong. This is morally incorrect. There are moral, clear commands given to us in God's word that to go against them is clearly sinful for us and a decision not to be made. That clears things up for us in so many areas of our lives. But then there are other things that aren't necessarily sinful, they're just dumb. They're stupid. They're the way of the fool, as the scriptures would declare it. But more positively, in line with this, when considering what to do, what decision to make, ask this question, in line with God's word, am I going towards, so in making this decision, am I going towards what God has said in his word? Am I, in light of making this decision, going to be loving others more? In light of making this decision, will I be encouraging others, building them up in the things of the Lord? In making this decision, will it enable me to fulfill the Great Commission and make more disciples of Jesus Christ? And so, in other words, the decisions that we are making are now, are they against God's word as revealed, or are they in line with God's word as revealed? You know, we believe that through the Bible, God has given us clarity on the issues and on the areas where we need clarity. Isn't that good? That when you need clarity, and God has given us everything that we need for clarity in life as revealed in his word. For example, marriage. You know, there's no verse in the Bible that will tell you exactly the name of the person that you will marry. You know, and some people will go through an exercise and have the pages blow in the wind and look for, you shall marry Joseph. Oh, look around for a guy called Joseph. And he's the one that God has revealed to me. This is the one I'm to marry. But you know, the Bible does tell us what marriage looks like. The Bible does tell us the function of marriage and the type of person to look for. The Bible does tell us how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a parent. All of that is found in God's revealed word for us. And he does this in so many areas of life and living for us. And so number one, listen to God's word in making decisions for your life. Read it, engage it, pay attention to it, obey it. And that flows on to our second step. Having now spent time in God's word, focus on daily character. Now, honestly, many of you are hearing that going, character? That's not what I wanted to hear tonight. You know, if God came to you and offered you, I can tell you in 2020 what job you will be working, or your choice, I can tell you about how to develop your character. What would you choose? Many of us would go, I want to know where I'm working, God, because character is not as interesting on our radar. It's about priorities. The scriptures, as we dig into them, indicate that as we weigh up the choices before us, we are to do so in light of godly character. And we often want the answers, but what God is wanting is character. We want the answer now, but what God wants is patience for us. This has everything to do, understanding this, that our focus on daily character has everything to do with our relationship with God and who he is. A way to explain this might be as follows. Imagine for me for a moment that you're at university and that you have an upcoming assessment due to write a paper, and you have your professor offer to write the paper for you. Or your professor offers for you to study under their tutelage and gain the wisdom to be able to write the paper and future ones. You see, for many of us, we would go, I want the now. I want the immediate. Write the paper for me. But what God is seeking for us is character. It's for us to be in sync with him, and it's about relationship. You see, for us, making wise choices in life, living in accordance with God's will, is connected to our relationship with him. The more we get to know him, the more we understand his character, the more our character comes into focus and is transformed and matured. Here's how Psalm 37 puts it in verses 4 to 7. It says there, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And that's a verse that many people gravitate towards and have t-shirts made up of and put on coffee cups and commit to memory. Oh, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's what I want. And I desire him and I desire her and I desire that job and I desire this car and I desire that house. That's an erroneous teaching of that verse, because in the context as it builds, it says this, Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, because here's what happens and here's how it works. As you delight yourself in the Lord, you know what happens? Is you start to delight in, celebrate, enjoy the things that God celebrates and enjoys and delights in. Your heart is being transformed to be a reflection of his. And you begin to enjoy and love what he loves, and you begin to hate and despise what he hates. And there's this transformation going on in your heart that then when your heart is in reflection, is in sync with his heart, God cannot help but grant the desires of your heart then, because it's his desires. And so our lives, as we're growing in our relationship with him through his word, and as we're focusing on developing godly character in us, it's moving on out then into the decisions that we do and don't make in our lives. We are not about quick answers. God, write the essay for me. God, write that paper. Give me it now. No, instead, what we are about is growing in godly character, knowing him more and more, and then seeing our decisions reflect him, because our character is in sync with his will. Proverbs 21 verses 4 and 5 says, "A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. Those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." And so we're spending our time listening to God's word, daily focusing on godly character, and thirdly, seeking out wise, godly counsel. Doesn't it seem that so many of our big decisions that we make in life, we make in isolation? Ever had this experience where somebody that you know travels, goes away, and comes back, and then you meet them, and they've made a whole bunch of decisions for themselves that you're going, "Wow, you've been busy, haven't you?" And they've made some decisions in isolation without seeking counsel and direction from anybody else. Think of how many times that you've decided upon something and not sought counsel from godly people and then regretted the choice. In our society today, we consider isolated decisions to be a sign of strength. But as we dig into the scripture and Proverbs especially, what we see is that it would suggest otherwise. That by seeking out wisdom from godly people and counselors is a sign of strength as opposed to an indication of weakness. Proverbs 12 verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Every single one of us has blind spots. You know, when you're driving in the car and you have your mirrors, and there are certain areas still that you need to turn your head because it's blind to your vision. In our lives, we have that propensity to the same. There are certain things that we have a clarity about that we can see and a perspective that we can understand. But then there are other areas in our lives where we need somebody outside looking in to be able to give us insight to the blind spots in our lives. We don't see clearly. We need others to help to provide godly perspective and insight for us. So Proverbs 11 verse 14 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." And so when we are making decisions, here's what we need to do. We need to seek out godly people. People who know you well. People who know your circumstances well. And most importantly of all, people who know God well. For example, someone comes to you and says, "I'm planning to move to Melbourne to become a stand-up comic." And you know them well, and your first thing is to say, "I know you well, you're not funny. Don't do it." But then second to that, you know their circumstances well, and you're going, "Have you thought about what this means for your wife and for your kids, where they're going to go to school and all of those practical implications? And what about this and what about that?" And you start asking those questions. But then because you know the Lord and His will and you're wanting the best for them, you ask the question, well, have you even thought about where you'll go to church together and what that will mean, and where your kids, where will they fellowship? Who will be the people that they'll hang around with? What about your wife? Well, you're out trying to do this career of becoming a stand-up comic. Who's she going to be mingling with? Where's she going to be? And all of those decisions and questions you can ask in seeking out that godly counsel and wisdom. And I need to emphasize that godly part of seeking out counsel, because we can find people who will tell us what we want to hear all the time, can't we? You know, if we're into, okay, I need to go and find counselors, we can move around until we find someone who tells us what we're looking for. We've done that in our lives. But what we need to surround ourselves with is people who you know that know God. People that you know who love His Word, who have His heart, who love you and will point you in His direction. Not those who will tell you what you want to hear, but those who will tell you what you need to hear. That's the important difference. And so, moving on now, fourthly, we look at our current circumstances in making decisions. What does that mean? Well, consider where God has placed you, what is unfolding before you. See, Proverbs 16, verse 9 says that a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. What do I mean by that? We can plan out, and we do. We have grand plans for our lives, and I'll do this, and I'll go there, and I'll plan for this, and I'll have that happen, this and that, and that, and we'll put many things in place. But you know what happens? Events, circumstances out of our control, outside of our plans, occur. And so considering where you are, where God has placed you, what is before you, the season of life that God has put you in can help in ascertaining His plan and direction. Think of Esther when we studied her life as an example of this. Esther found herself with certainly great plans that she might have had, and her cousin Mordecai, and yet circumstances indicated otherwise. And yet through that, what did we see? Mordecai telling her that who knows? That God could have placed you here for what? Such a time as this. We often talk about this in ways of, there was like an open door before me, or it seemed like there was a closed door here, and you know, it must have been God's will and God's direction for my life. Now be careful in that terminology, because open doors and closed doors can be deceiving in the way that we talk about that and think of it, because often what we're thinking is that an open door is an easy path for us. Well, all things just fell into place and there was no opposition, and it just seemed like that must have been the right thing to do. And we talk about ease being an open door, but then on the flip side, if it's difficult, if there's opposition coming up against us, then we think, well, God must have closed the doors on that one, and so that's the end of that, and I don't make that decision. But who's to say? Is it the enemy opening doors? Is it the enemy closing doors? Is it God opening doors? Is it God closing doors? Which one is it? And so we're left with, if we're looking purely at circumstances, this confusion in our lives. And understand that God is not the author of confusion. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, he says, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Notice that he said and not but. So there's this great open door of effective ministry that God has for me. And what that means, he says, is that there is opposition. He embraced it, as this is, through circumstances in that moment, God's will and direction for my life. And so because of this potential for an open door, closed door, which one is it? Who's shutting it? Who's opening? That's why we need to start with number one. Listening to God's Word and moving and building through, focusing on daily character in our lives, seeking out godly counsel, looking at our current circumstances, and moving into number five. It sounds obvious. Pray. You and I, we need to pray in making wise decisions in our lives. The way of wisdom, you see, requires us to talk with God about our choices, our decisions, praying with simple faith. Proverbs 28 verse 5 says, "Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all." This is prayer, seeking the Lord and understanding with respect to justice. This is prayer with a moral element attached to it. In other words, it's a prayer like this. God, in this decision, in knowing what to do, where to go, how to go about doing it, God, help me to make this decision free of the fear of man. And help me to be focused upon honoring you in this decision. That changes then, through our prayer, the way we go about making a decision. You see, this prayer focuses on saying, God, make me the right person. Give me the right heart. More importantly than opening the right door. And so what we're praying for is an attitude of trust and obedience. Praying to be teachable and humble. Praying for the furtherance of his kingdom. Praying for the betterment of others. And what you'll see is in making those prayers, you'll begin to make many good decisions in your life. By listening to God's word, focusing on daily character, seeking out godly counsel, looking at your current circumstances, wrapping that up all in prayer. And finally, number 6, make a decision and rest in the sovereignty of God. Because we can see some of what God is up to in our lives, does not mean that we can see all that God is up to in our lives. And nor are we expected to. So following the steps before us, listening to God's word, moving through, focusing on daily character, God, make me more like you. Get my heart in sync with your heart. May I know your will more. Grant me the desires of your heart. Seeking out godly counsel. Hey, what do you think? What have you read in the scriptures about this? Do you think I'm thinking about doing this? Does that sound like that would be of wise service to my life and to others? Praying, looking around at the circumstances, and then making that decision, resting in the sovereignty of God. And so we plan, but God establishes. Proverbs 21, verse 31. I love this verse, and here's why when we read it at the beginning, you're probably thinking, what's that one all about? Well, let's unpack it. It says, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. In other words, the picture there is of, you know, a soldier and relying so much upon their steed for the battle at hand, and they're looking after. They've been feeding, they've been caring for, they've put the armory on, and the soldier is preparing that horse for the battle. But the result, the victory in that battle, rests in the hands of the Lord. So they've made all the preparations, they've made all of the plans, but ultimately they're resting in the sovereignty that God will have what God wants to be achieved, accomplished. God, you see, has given us his Holy Spirit. God has given us capacity. God has given us his word. God has given us opportunities, otherwise known as getting the horse ready for battle. But the victory, the success, the battle belongs to the Lord. In other words, God has the final say. So rest in that. Rest in his sovereignty in this regard. But we say, but what if I make a stupid decision? What if somebody else makes a stupid decision and I'm left reaping the consequences of that? Are we doomed then? Think of this. Turn with me in your Bible. Romans chapter 8. And maybe automatically your mind is going straight to the verse. Verse 28. Romans 8 verse 28. I want you to turn in your Bible because this is a verse that I think would be so important, so relevant for you to commit to memory. It's up on the screen, yes, but it says, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And we know that all things, underline that phrase, or highlight it in your digital Bible. All things. It means literally everything with nothing left out. Do you know what that means? That even means stupid choices. That even means bad choices. That means the decisions that others make, yes. Now, it doesn't excuse them. It doesn't exempt us from the consequences of bad choices and stupid decisions. But here's what it does mean. That God, in His sovereignty and grace, is able to redeem our choices. Is powerful enough over them that God is so great that not even you, on your most stupid day, can mess up to the point where He cannot rectify it. Isn't that awesome news? Because I don't know about you, but I have many, many dumb days. And here's what I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I'm not alone in that. This means that we can live, that we can choose, making choices in life without analysis paralysis. If, in following the steps, we are remembering, number one, to listen to God's word. So you know what that means? Real obvious. Are you reading God's word? Are you taking time to open it up, to have His truth, have His revealed will come into your mind and into your hearts, play out in your life, in the decisions, in the choices that you make? Are you being guided by moving away from the things that He is against and moving towards the things that He is for and having them be what guide and direct your heart and mind? Are you focusing on knowing Him more, His character, so that then He is transforming your heart by the renewing of your mind? Are you seeking out godly counsel? Looking around circumstances, praying, and then ultimately resting in Him because we know His character, we know His heart. And here is the good news. The Bible tells us that God is gracious, that God is compassionate, that God is merciful, that God is slow to anger, that God loves us with an everlasting love. He has promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we run back to again and again and again, this is the God who has promised to look after me. And the Scriptures tell us, He who has begun a good work in you, guess what, will be faithful to complete it to the very end. And I'm excited now, in light of who He is, to go and live life making decisions in accordance with His will for my life, knowing that I cannot have to worry about tomorrow, but be focused upon living out His will in the now, for today, and trusting Him with the rest, and rest in that. Amen. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your word, and I pray for Your people, that in making decisions, that You would guide us, that You would direct us, that we would live in ways that honor You, that bless You, that bless others, that then sees blessing in our lives. I pray, Lord, for every husband, for every wife here, for every mother, every father, every student, every employer, employee. But Lord, in all facets and aspects of our lives, that we would be guided and directed by wisdom through Your word. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this week.